Everybody, welcome to What Would Save the World. Yet again, my intro isn't working, but you are listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn every Wednesday at 3 to 4 p.m. live. And I am here with Queen Amor.
Hi, y'all. How are you?
Wait, this is something's not... Can you hear me? Can I? Okay, your mic is not working. Go, yeah, keep talking.
How do I work it?
I think you're on the right mic. Talk.
Am I working now? Am I working?
Yeah, I think you are working. You're working. Everybody, everything's working. So today we are going to be talking. We're going to go live on Facebook right now. But what we are doing today is we are going to be talking about what is pinkwashing and how do we dismantle it. And I am here again, like I said, with the wonderful, wonderful Queen fucking Amor. If you don't know who Queen Amor is, I highly recommend looking into it, looking into Queen Amor and Googling her and watching all her fucking ridiculous videos twerking all over the world. Queen, can you please like tell me a little bit about your twerking life, please?
Okay, so I am doing my every summer I do this
tour.
I do a tour, a Journey to Love tour, where I dance across the nation. I started in LA, and then I made my way to San Francisco, and now I'm here in Brooklyn. And it's very exciting because in all of these different spaces and being able to express some freedom and to promote positive body image and to, engage people in conscious thought and to, you know, redirect their ideas and have them question their reality a little bit is very important. And I feel like a lot of people in this society have become very disassociated with each other, with their bodies, with what actually life is. And I'm able to connect them with that. And it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And we're going to go off of live in a minute, but we are going to talk for a little bit about how fucking like whitewashed the movement is. Pride was a piece of work. Pride was completely pinkwashed. I'm going to talk a little bit about what pinkwashing
is. Very corporate.
Very corporate. And the definition of pinkwashing is actually, in the context of LGBTI rights, it is used to describe a variety of marketing and political strategies aimed at promoting products, countries, people, or entities through an appeal to queer friendliness in order to appear as progressive, modern, and tolerant.
It's literally using our community to further exploit us.
It's exploitive and it's fake.
It's fake. It's fake. It's not real. It's not real.
So what we're gonna do is Queen found these amazing, amazing photos on the street. So these posters. So let's talk about each one of these. So especially because so much queer history is whitewashed.
And we don't our queer history is composed of trans women of color. We have such a diverse history, and I think a lot of in our queer community we don't actually know much of our history.
Yeah, we're gonna talk a lot about Sylvia Rivera a little bit later on this show, so we're gonna get there. But
so the first one we have is Josephine Baker, who was a bisexual entertainer and civil rights activist who is known for her boundary pushing, sexually open performances that helped define the Art Deco age. She refused to perform for racially segregated audiences and spoke next to Martin Luther King Jr. at the March on Washington in 1963.
And we're gonna play some of her songs later.
She also had Josephine Baker also had relations with Frida Kahlo. And Frida Kahlo was a Mexican painter and avowed bisexual who's regarded as an icon for the Chicanx feminist and LGBTQ movements. She was married to famous muralist Diego Rivera, but had several relationships with women, including Josephine Baker.
I want to gear it up to the front. I've never heard of these people before. They're great. And then we got Marsha P. Johnson. She's a trans activist, AIDS activist, sex worker, and drag queen who was among the first to fight back against the police during the Stonewall riots of 1969. And then we got Billie Jean King. And I can't read that. What does that say?
Billie Jean King was the first openly lesbian tennis player who pushed for equal prize money for women. She beat the number one male tennis player in a match known as the Battle of the Sexes in 1973.
We're fucking badass. Queer folks are fucking bad. We got even more. Okay, let's do this. Let's keep going. So we got Sappho. We got Sappho, a symbol for love and desire between women. Sappho was an ancient Greek poet who often wrote about her attraction towards other women. Hailing from the island of Lesbos, she bestowed upon the word lesbian.
She literally created the word lesbian.
She literally created the word lesbian. So, all right, so let's keep going.
And then we have Jose Saria, who is an American political activist and drag queen from San Francisco, California, who in 1961 became the first openly gay candidate for public office in the United States.
See, I didn't even know that. And then we got, of course, we got Christine Jorgensen. And Christine Jorgensen, a trans woman, former army private from the Bronx, who was the first to become widely known in the United States for having sex reassignment surgery in the early 1950s.
Huge.
And then we have Oscar Wilde, who kind of looks like, what's that actor's name from fucking Requiem for a Dream? Whoever this person is, dressed as them.
Oscar Wilde.
Popular Irish playwright, novelist, essayist, poet, and dandy who paved the way for gay visibility in the arts. He was charged with sodomy and gross indecency in 1895 in a highly publicized trial that resulted in his imprisonment for 2 years. I had never heard of that, but thank you all for watching us live. If you want to hear more about, we're going to comment on some of those people, we're going to talk about them, we're going to play a Josephine Baker song. I think that you should go to radiofreebrooklyn.com and listen to me and Queen talk. And we actually have Cara Bouvet coming in a little later, so if they make it from the L train, say goodbye, Queen.
Bye, y'all.
Bye. Tune in. Bye. All right, so that was great. So let's play some Josephine Baker, and then let's move on, and we're going to talk a lot about this pink washing and what Pride was like for both Queen and I. So, and then this is Je Dois Amour. Is this even going to... I don't know what is up with all the cables in this studio. This shit is pissing me off to no fucking end. Here we go.
Party!
that was Josephine Baker, Je Dois Amour. And like we were talking, me and Queen Amour, who I'm in the studio with, you're listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. And Queen and I were reading off these posters of queer story, these posters from the front about different people in gay history or queer LGBT history. And Josephine Baker apparently is bisexual and used to date Frida Kahlo. So our question today is, what is pinkwashing and how do we dismantle it? And pinkwashing is in the context of LGBT rights. It's basically just marketing and political strategies aimed at like promoting products that appear queer friendly in order to appear progressive, modern, and tolerant. And I just tweeted at Tuke Edelow, 2K, like the number 2, the symbol K-E-D-A-L-O-W on Twitter. I just wrote, why do queer folks themselves allow themselves to assimilate to rainbow capitalism? Because that is what a lot of folks like to call pinkwashing, is rainbow capitalism. So Queen, I'm here with Queen Amour, who's an amazing performance artist. It's spelled Q-W-E-E-N space A-M-O-R. You should be watching her videos all the time. They're fucking fantastic and ridiculous. So Queen, I want you to tell me your take on pinkwashing and rainbow capitalism and all this shit, because I know you travel all over dancing and you get to see a lot of shit. Tell me.
So I spent the Pride Month in June, I spent in California, and I started off in LA. And what I noticed about LA Pride was that it's so commercial that I couldn't even afford to be a part of the festivities. Like, to even get into Pride was going to cost me $35 just to get in for a day. And I significantly went just for Pride, and that really bothered me, because in LA there's a lot of trans, queer, homeless youth that, like, and I've spoke to many of them that, like, sleep on the street and they sex work and they're doing what they can to survive. So how can they be a part of a festival when they can't even afford to get in? And you know, it bothers me, because it was trans queer people who threw the brick. We started this movement. It all started with trans women of color, and now at the same time, we have to do what we have to do to survive in a system that says that we're nothing. You know, we don't have anything to offer. You know, and it's bothersome, and I don't. You know, I've got to fight for water at San Francisco Pride.
You know, fight for water.
I have to fight for water because I can't afford $3 water bottles, you know, everywhere God. I go. You know, and I'm dancing in these spaces. I need to stay hydrated. Like that. But meanwhile, you're like in San Francisco Pride, I walked through a market, like turned the entire street into a giant fucking market. It's a giant market. And I'm like, how can anybody, like, really understand and celebrate Pride and, you know, celebrate our diversity when we're being distracted with a bunch of, like, who the fuck needs to buy all of these sunglasses? Who needs to buy all of these things?
Like, the bling is ridiculous.
It's not.
Sprint was fucking handing out, like, medallions.
Like, it's not conducive to the movement. And not once did I hear in any of these Pride, these Pride events, some Marsha P. Johnson or Sylvia Rivera.
Yeah, and that's extremely important that we be talking about the history of Stonewall and the actual history of these movements.
And where it came from. And I think in our communities, we're lacking a significant understanding of where we come from in our history. And we've bought into this idea that we're nothing more than commodities to be bought and sold. And then to walk through, a time where we're supposed to be celebrating who we are, but instead I'm being told that I need to buy this and I need to buy that and I need... Whoa.
And
I'm
not
making any money here.
I have to admit, I was one of the salespeople at Pride, but I wasn't selling anything. I was selling body painting, because I had just quit my job as a stripper, but I was giving it out for free to whoever couldn't afford it.
But that's also, that's different than like exploiting, than like selling, like taking, your corporate market thing and exploiting members of a community and using this community to further your product. Like, why does McDonald's have a fucking float in our parade of a giant thing of fries? Like, that's, you're like... Like, what? Like, are you hiring queer people? You know, are you offering us jobs? And
and what kind of queer if you are? Are you hiring white gay men?
You know, and because
that's a thing. Like, a lot of people, like, oh, we have tons of gay people, but they're all like very cis looking.
Yeah, and it's very exploitative. And, you know, I feel, You know, and most of these businesses would call the fucking cops on me in a heartbeat for dancing outside or playing music. So these businesses have kind of infiltrated our celebration, and it's no longer about celebrating who we are and coming together and being loud and expressive and celebrating where we come from. It's about these businesses and this San Francisco Pride parade is one giant corporate float.
Oh my God, I'm so tired of all this. I was so fucking angry at Pride. So let's just like start for a minute. I was so fucking angry with that, like in New York City Pride, that the NYPD got to do a marching band outside of Stonewall. It if you could see Queen right now, Queen just, our hands just like went up in the air.
Like how is that even like, and I read this article about how the police, like we should be thanking the police for storming in Stonewall and giving them credit for oppressing us, because without that, we never would have thrown a fucking brick at them to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, at what point, like, police don't, like, our force system of oppression, like, it's just so fucking mind-boggling to me.
It really is.
And I don't celebrate the police. I don't celebrate the police.
I don't celebrate the police.
Because the police, in my experience, in my life, are the biggest threat to my freedom. And I'm not doing anything wrong. You know, like, the police are a significant threat to my basic humanity.
And also, like, I don't, I think you mentioned that, but Stonewall was about, fighting back against the police. It was about the police. It was anti-police raid. And somebody, I said that to a bunch of gay men at their cis gay men, because what happened was a bunch of protesters sat down and tried to block the police from coming, and 12 of them got arrested, and when the police could finally march, people cheered.
And that's disgusting because the entire thing started as an act of protest against the police.
Mm-hmm.
So to celebrate the if the police were able to like take a step back and actually understand where those 12 people were coming from and why they were sitting down, you know, rather than sitting here trying to have some glorious moment as a, like, absolutely not, absolutely not, absolutely
and,
not.
And one of the organizers of Pride completely backed up the police, and I'm trying to find it. Somebody posted something on Facebook about it, and then she commented and then blocked the other person because they were talking about like colonialism and how like Pride or like sort of like rainbow capitalism isn't actually like protecting people, like trans women of color, especially when you want to address that, like, something that I think a lot of queer people are like afraid to address is that, or that, like, yeah, it's gotten better for cis, gay, and lesbian.
It's gotten better for white people.
But if you are a if you're a fucking trans woman of color, it's gotten worse.
It's gotten significantly worse.
It's gotten worse, and it's like nothing's changed. Yes, things have changed in the sense that the only thing that's fucking changed is that like our generation and younger are totally pro-gender nonconformity. They don't give a shit what your gender is, who you date, da-da-da-da-da. And that's great. I'm hoping they're the ones who save us, but I thought that with our generation I thought that the white supremacists were dying out, but apparently not.
No, they're gaining in power.
They're gaining power.
Because they own the world.
They own
the fucking world, and it's crazy to me. And even in the last 6 months, since the beginning of 2017, there have been 14 trans women of color that have been murdered already.
It's so bad.
Already. And where's their justice? In 2016, 27 trans women of color were murdered.
Yeah, so in 2016, that's 20. But it's not even, are we even like,
We're
not even halfway through. We're about to be halfway.
We're about halfway, and it's already up to 14.
Yeah, so it's that's more. That's more. And even if, who cares if it's more or less? It shouldn't be happening.
It shouldn't be happening at all. So, there's no visibility. There's no accountability. They're not talking about it in the media. It's not. So how am I supposed to, as a trans woman of color, how am I supposed to feel safe in a society that seemingly has it out for me?
I
And the police are supposed to protect, you know, people like me. They're supposed to protect us, and but they're not. And you know, those are they're to be avoided because they're a threat to my life. I do not feel safe around. I don't feel safe around cops. Cops don't make me feel safe.
Okay, so here, cops don't make me feel safe either. And if I don't feel safe as like some little white girl, do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, why do? But that, you know, yeah, you get my fucking point.
I get it.
Guys, why are you talking so much identity politics? And that actually, just to touch on that for a minute. That's the only place identity politics get dangerous is when we start talking about like pinkwashing and corporations. Yeah. Because now what these corporations are doing are trying to use our identities against us.
As if, like expressing my identity and sticking and standing up for myself as a trans woman it's not fucking easy in this world to be a trans and to be a person of color. It's not easy, and a lot of people who don't understand that struggle, they don't understand that oppression. That's why we have to talk about these things. Well, they have to be spoken about. They have to be voiced, and they need to be aired.
They have to be spoken about all the time. We have to be careful about not letting corporations manipulate us into thinking that just because they validate such identities that it makes it suddenly that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, okay, so I was reading an article about how straight Pride is these days, like how many straight people go to Pride. And like, that's a good thing because it's good that people are like, you know, down. But it's also like part of it is like young kids not caring and just like wanting to support. But also I think it's the corporations who have like subconsciously shown like cis white kids that they are like the dominant things, and now that they want to be part of it because they think that they get to own what's cool.
And what's funny is that last night someone came up to me and said how do I look more gay? I want to look more gay. I just came out. I'm a lesbian. You know, I've been out for a couple of months, and I'm looking at her and I'm like, to look more gay. And that doesn't, from a cis white woman who, you know, she now wants to look gay because she thinks it's a cool thing. And I'm looking at her and I'm like, do you understand the oppression that comes with looking more gay? I mean, if you can handle that and that's who you are and you can own that, you know, but also I don't think a lot of people understand the significant struggle and the uphill battle that a lot of us have to face on a day-to-day basis just to be who we are.
What did she say?
And you know, she just kind of looked at me with like these like glossy eyes and this dumbfounded face because she had absolutely no idea of the oppression that we face. She has no clue because she's never been faced with that. Mm-hmm. So like, to be gay is also to take on the oppression and to take on the struggle of your brothers and sisters because you're faced with it every day. So you can't, it's great to show solidarity, but it's also important to listen to our stories and to listen to the struggle and to understand like why it is that we're fighting so hard to be free.
Do you think she also maybe, so like when I was younger and was like afraid to hit on women, I was like, how do I make it more clear that I want to date women? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So maybe she was confused about that, but it is good that she got that education there.
Yeah, and it's important. Like, if you're a straight ally, like, understand that you're straight. Understand, where you fall into the mix. But also don't, you know, your opinion isn't, your opinion should be open to fluidity and being, you should be able to embrace other perspectives to widen your view of the world rather than, clinging and defending your opinion without substantial knowledge of mm-hmm. what is actually going on.
I hear that for sure. So something I want to do, I want to read the comments that have come back for some of these questions.
Okay.
So I wrote, why are people so undereducated? Is undereducated even a word?
Yeah, undereducated
it's a word now. Undereducated about queer history, what would save the world? Somebody said, because for most people, if it doesn't affect them, they don't care to learn. That's sort of what you were saying a little bit. And then somebody said, because most people have other priorities. Oh my God, fuck you. And then someone said, it's not taught in public schools, and if the curriculum is proposed, there's always backlash. Okay, I love the internet.
It's also, there's not, I feel like a lot of people get in this society, like through music and movies and like the media, but also where there's a lack of queerness in our media, and
it's getting a little better, but then it's still whitewashed.
Even in the they came out with that Stonewall movie or whatever,
yeah.
And Marsha P. Johnson is not in there, Sylvia Rivera is not in there, and they have a fucking white man holding the first brick.
which is not the fucking truth.
Like, they completely, like, whitewashed our history, and we get left behind because nobody sees us, and nobody sees us because we have a blanket of whiteness covered by it.
And then that leads me to what I think we should do now is we should address another reason why it was so ridiculous for the police to get to march. So Stonewall was about police raids, yes, but a lot of the tendency is somebody at the door. Caribou, come in. Caribou's here. We unlock the door. We have our other guest here. Caribou. We have Caribou and Connor here. We only have one mic. You're going to have to share it because I didn't know Connor was coming, but it's cool. Sit down here. Oh my God. Okay. We're going to play a Josephine Baker song while we try to figure this all out. That's where Queen's sitting. Oh my God. Oh, I just got kissed with the chair. Okay. We're going to play Destempes and Temps. Here we go.
Que tu m'adores, embrasse-moi de temps en temps. Un mot d'amour, c'est incoloré, mais un baiser, c'est éloquent. Ne me fais pas de longs poèmes, ne parle pas de tes émois, pour me prouver combien tu m'aimes. De temps en temps, embrasse-moi. Dans tes bras, prends-moi vite, car demain tu me quittes. Tu dois m'indemniser. Il faut bien que je fasse provision de baisers. Quatre jours, c'est bien long. Sois prudent, chérie. Et surtout, rappelle-toi, si tu m'écris, ne me dis pas que tu m'adores, mais pense à moi de temps en temps. Car bien de fois le cœur ignore ce que la main écrit sous l'eau. Ne jure pas d'être fidèle. Je veux le croire malgré toi. Mais si les filles là-bas sont belles, de temps en temps, dis, pense-moi. Du 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 do 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 do.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to What Would Save the World. And we are doing an episode today that is called, what is pinkwashing and how do we dismantle it? And I am here with Queen Amore, and in a minute we're going to, it was an amazing performance artist, and we're about to have Caribou come back. And we have another person, Connor, in here, is going to try to go smoke a cigarette outside, because smoking cigarettes is fun. And we,
I love a cigarette.
but we're going to go have cigarettes at the end of the show. So what we're going to do is, we were talking a little bit about how we need to address, like, the whitewashing and the pretty much the regular gay washing. I don't know if that's the right word, but in terms of, like, ignoring the trans women in the movement. Come in. If you're trying to come in, just come in, please. Okay. Everything's getting all commotion-wise in here. And you know what would, save the world is if Toot calmed the fuck down a little bit. If Toot calmed her shit down a little bit. So what we're going to do is basically, Sylvia Rivera gave this speech in 1973 that's called Y'all Better Quiet Down. We're talking, Caribou. Okay, and finally you're here. Okay, so Caribou, talk. Tell us who you are. These headphones, honey.
All right.
Caribou.
Hi.
Is another performance artist and activist that I know. So Caribou, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, great. Hi, I'm Caribou. I'm community organizing leader and activist here in New York City. I'm also a visual performer, artist, transformational go-go mainly, like I was doing last night at Casa Diva for the 4th of July Resist Imperialism Party. So that's kind of like the broad range of what
you
do.
You had a 4th of July thing that I didn't hear about. What was this?
Oh, it was, for the lovely people at the Safe Space Queer Space Casa Diva, who are over in Crown Heights. That's Mama Charlene and Sam Banks mainly, and all those goofy queerdos and tranimals. There was, you know, a good old like resist imperialism, you know, like, you know, fuck the USA kind of party. At least that's what I thought of it. Take whatever you will out of, you know, the 4th of July celebrations. But last night, as always, there was definitely that defiant spirit.
And also, so as somebody with PTSD, those fucking explosions are so scary. It sounds like a fucking war zone out there. And it's like, it feels like this bizarre, like, thing to, like, make us associate explosions with positivity and beauty.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's weird.
Right. But, I mean, you know, that being said, I feel like that kind of ideology happens a lot in like the far left circles anyways, especially in Antifa.
What
like
do you mean?
Antifa
what kind
circles.
Of idea? Oh, the explosions. Oh, my God.
Yeah, the ideologies of like something really beautiful can come out of like, you know, explosions and destruction and all that, you know? So like, I feel like that's like kind of part of, you know, ideologically what I signed up for anyway. So when I like hear those things, and I know for people who do have a lot of like, you know, trauma and everything and who are like triggered by that kind of stuff.
Well,
it's,
I'm
like,
triggered by
lot.
It because of the fucking concussion grenades.
Oh my God.
J20.
Yeah.
At fucking like in DC. I just hear boom, boom. I'm like, oh my God, run for blocks. Right. Anyway, let's get on topic for a minute.
Okay.
But we are on topic, but July 4th. I asked you about it. I'm sorry. Right. I'm all clusterfucked in my head right now.
It's okay. I'm just getting here. Sorry that I just like just got here.
Oh, but it's all right. We're all here. I was actually thinking to myself, I was like, how much does it suck that like I like don't like classic capitalist like scheduling. We have to be somewhere at a certain time, but I have a live show.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I was like, by the way, you're listening to What Would Save the World on Radio for Brooklyn. My name is Tuke Edel. I'm here with Cara Bouvet and Queen of Moore, and we'll be here till 4 p.m.
Yay.
So now we're going to move. So what we've been talking about is pink washing and like what is pink washing and how do we dismantle it and how it's like LGBT. It's like a marketing political strategy to promote products and companies and countries and people and shit to appear like modern and queer friendly. So what we were talking about, Caribou, so to catch you up, is like how Sylvia Rivera and like Marsha P. Johnson are often very much forgotten, and how like how ridiculous it was that the NYPD got to play a fucking like marching band show outside of Stonewall when Stonewall was because of police raids and because a lot of the issues that face trans people of color right now, or just trans people in general, haven't really changed that much. So I want to play Sylvia Rivera's speech from 1973, Y'all Better Quiet Down. And if you listen, you can fucking hear people booing her. So here, listen to this. Oh my God, that's so much Josephine Baker. As somebody on my Twitter listens to all my shows because they love my technical difficulties. They think they're funny. All right, here's Sylvia Rivera. That booing?
Yeah. I mean, that's just.
You've seen this. I've showed you this.
This is par for the course, though. You know?
And they try to, like, take the mic stand from her, but she holds it.
Quiet down.
Shut the fuck up, they said.
Nothing. for your gay brothers and your gay sisters in jail. They're writing me every motherfucking week and ask for your help. And you all don't do a goddamn thing for them.
Seriously? And like, what has changed in this way?
And rape.
I mean, honestly, this is like a speech that Cayenne could have been giving like, you know, a couple of weeks ago.
Exactly.
Right. They've been beaten up and raped after they haven't spent much of their money in jail to get their cell phones and try to get their sex changed.
And this is so relevant. Like, prisons are still... And the police...
changes ...or to become women of the women's liberation. And they write STAR, not the women's group. They do not write women. They do not write men. They write STAR because we're trying to do something for them. I have been to jail. I have been raped and beaten many times by men.
And like, why?
Sexual men.
And like, why are these stories still silenced by the larger gay community? Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, that's because the gay community protects men still. It's been winnowed. It's been
gendered. White.
No,
yeah, especially.
Me, I mean, and hide my tail between my legs.
Yeah.
I will not prolong the put up with this shit.
And when I was at, beaten. When I watched all those people get arrested, and I booed the police, and I was like, "What the fuck? Why are they allowed to be here when the whole thing was based on a police raid?"
Oh, yeah.
And these guys kind of looked at me and we often heard them whispering to each other, but yeah. A lot has changed.
Nothing
well,
has changed.
No, I mean, you know what? Like, there have been things that have changed, but not progressively. Let's be honest about it. Like, things haven't changed, like, progressively. I mean, back in these days, like, at least there was, like, kind of a reverence that, like, the gay community was tied to the struggles of, like, the trans community. You know? I mean, that's been forgotten. That's what's changed, okay?
I think a lot of the gay community is disconnected from the struggles of the trans community because the gay men don't quite understand what it is to be trans. And they don't have the experience there is lacking. So and
well, the experience and also even just like the, you know, the empathy, right?
And
you know,
to have the dialect between a gay man and a trans woman, you know, of like, can you like listen to the story of your sisters rather than looking at them like there's something that you wouldn't want to fuck.
The othering is very strong, y'all. Yeah. The othering is a very strong social kind of economy. It's kind of a social species, if you will. It provides people to one up one another, and you know, like in our society, it provides people the opportunity to, you know, like get a chance to hold a little microaggression. And when especially you're trying to like appeal to assimilationist culture, when you're trying to like you know appeal to like whiteness or whatever the case may be, that is like unfortunately right now it looks like the top of this like capitalist pyramid of like social structures, then yeah, it makes you feel like you've somehow gotten out of like the rat race a little bit more than other people. And so that disconnect is like, I mean, it is strong within like the cis, you know, heteronormative, like, you know, communities that pretty much compromise gay culture right now, unfortunately. Like, I'm not going to go to Chelsea and like crack. I'm not going to go to Hell's Kitchen and crack Boxers HQ with like any of my performances because they're femcentric, okay? You know, it's like it's transformational and you know, they want to see like they want to see the ideal, you know, idealized male body bumping and grinding, yeah. And like usually that's the voice they're going to listen to. I find in those spaces that when I rely heavily on like aspects of like my maleness, then whether it's to like whether I'm speaking to people, you know, as an activist, or whether I'm like speaking to people as a performer, like in those spaces generally, I get like a lot more respect. and attention and blah, blah, blah. I get a pass, as it were. Like, that male privilege is, like, completely, like, passed on to me. It's
funny because in a lot of the spaces, and especially in the gay community, where they want it to, in society, the white male is this standard of beauty. So they want to fit this idea so they can maintain their own sense of privilege without having to feel steadfast in oppression. Whereas I can't blanket myself white, and I can't blanket myself in a way that you know, like, I don't identify with my penis,
right.
So I can't, you know, go into a, like, I have to, I can't hide.
Right.
I can't hide.
Right. And, like, when did it become that? Was it the 90s? Was it, like,
I don't know.
I feel like that was the
maybe it started
turn
with
of the
vanilla
2000s
ice,
when things, like, definitely became just, like, standard white, you know what I mean? There's, like, because, you know, when, okay, you look back at periodicals and these the old gay erotica and whatever the case may be, and even times when it was, like, completely taboo, we're talking, like, you had to hide being, like, a gay person. There's, like, so much erotica that was completely centered around the diverse, you know, at least, like, gay experience, like, racially, you know what I mean? There's, like, all these beautiful pictures of, like, you know, brown and black men. And granted, there's, like, obviously the problematic idea of, like, exotifying or exoticism within those, you know,
I
bodies.
People call me exotic.
Exotic. So exotic.
I want to say, I am tweeting right now, is progressing through corporatism progress what would save the world?
I mean, yo, I'm going through an insurrectionist phase right now.
Please tell me about it.
I'm not.
It's hard to survive in this world. And I think, like, for me at least, I don't really have much privilege. And so I got to do what I have to do to survive. And that includes, like, if I have to sex work in order to put food in my gut, then that's what I'm going to do. Whereas, like, a white cisgender male can walk in and get a job and, like, pretend to be straight. And so I can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, but what, like, do you mean by the insurrectionist? What do you mean?
You know, it's like, am I going to have to, like, go through the usual channels to, like, in a capitalist structure, you know, pad my wallet so that I have enough money to, like, you know, fund the projects that my friends, my people are actually trying to get done. You know what I mean? Like, too, can you know absolutely about this? Like, I'm gonna kind of have to do it, you know, like,
oh, yeah,
revolution.
You do what you gotta do.
Revolution isn't always, to me, gonna be one of those things that's, like, external, coming from outside, coming from, like, a quote unquote left or whatever the case may be. Sometimes, you know, it's like, you gotta, I feel in this insurrectionist phase I'm going through, you gotta kind of, like, take what you can capitalize on and use it against people as propaganda.
Mm.
You know, I'm not, at this point in the game, I'm not against brainwashing. You know,
but brainwashing in what way, though? In the other way?
Oh, well, brainwashing, obviously, in the other way. I mean, like, look, we got to use some people, their tactics against us. You know what I mean? If I can find a way to, like, use what I got and it's, like, something that can, like, brainwash the feeble-minded, you know, then...
To becoming anarchist.
To becoming anarchist, to, like, seeing things through, like, my vision or, like, my way or, like... the case would be, I'm not against using it. That's, like, a tactic that's been used, like, time and time again. And especially in a visual context.
Those are tactics that lead to fascism.
Hey, they are. But, like, I've got a community behind me that I hope will check me.
Yeah. To me, I can relate to the, like, pack your wallet, try to, like, push your agenda,
right,
to, like, get people to start. But the scary thing, though, is, like, at what point does your agenda stop being your agenda? Because I think about this all the time. I'm like, I would love to, like, teach children to think more collectively, to think less top down. Do you know what I'm saying? But at what point does it become top down teaching that? Do you know what I'm saying?
Of course.
So that's where it gets really complicated. But I do understand people wanting to, like, utilize the system for progress, but or to survive. But what I mean is, like, how much have people really progressed, or is it, like, I think socially we've progressed a lot in the sense that, like, I don't know, I know that there are a lot more people today who are, like, not as homophobic as people were back in the day.
Yeah.
But it still exists. And Also, there is like issues with like corporate structure. There are people, there's like corporations, like pretty much like validating identities. I was talking about this before. Like, is corporate validation real validation? Like, why do we continue allowing these same systems to validate identities? That's what I'm saying. Like, because, is that progress?
Because it feels like progress at first. Of them. Right.
Like, it's a system of exploitation. So if I can exploit you in order to make money, then we're going to do that at all costs. And it doesn't matter how much suffering is imposed on whatever community because of these exploitative things.
Right.
You know, but they're going to, we want to be free, and they're going to use these ideas of the gay community and pinkwash the idea so to sell these ideas back to us and make us think this is what we want, but really it's not.
And it looks good.
It looks good
at first to have representation.
Put a little rainbow unicorn over U.S. Bank, and next thing you have a bunch of fairies opening banking accounts.
You know, it does look good, and it does like bolster kind of like, you know, a community spirit a little bit. I mean, for en masse, all right? I'm not saying for everyone, obviously, but like generally en masse, like, yeah, it does look good to have like that kind of representation. But then when it becomes something, when it starts to get winnowed down into like, yeah, like, oh, this, you know, okay, for instance, we all remember when Logo came out, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it was like, fuck yeah, this Monumental. Is like cheesy, but like, it's good to have this representation in the larger corporate structure of like, you know, media programming that's like our voice. And now Logo literally is one long commercial. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm tweeting right now.
It's one long commercial for like, you know, that Pine show about like, you know, the gay dudes in Fire Island where they're like all white. You know, it's like the experiences, and that's capitalism, that's patriarchy. It's like, you know, winnowing down like the cultural, like the larger cultural experience to like the lens of, you know, the whoever is at kind of like the top, whoever is like currently controlling what we think is our ideas of like masculinity and sexiness and blah, blah, blah. Because those are the things that like we're for some reason still protecting, like, you know, like. Why does masculinity, why does the fragile male ego need like this much fucking protecting in this day and age?
No, I want to crush that shit right
on
out.
Like,
like it's not, and that's a, but that's what we're looking at the world is that male, like masculinity is so fragile that femininity is terrifying for most men because they also have to recognize that that is a part of them, and that ego, it's illusioned. It's not.
Why does masculinity really have to come like at the, you know, at the sake of femininity? Why is it?
There's a significant balance in all of us, and that balance is not something that's taught, and it's not something that valued within our community, because in order to be sexually attractive and in order to find a husband, like, God forbid you're feminine on Grindr, you're not going to get any dick.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, it's Grindr. Just like, I feel like the feminine and masculine is such bullshit. Like, the fact that we even have to, like, call one or the other and people, like, automatically identify it with a certain gender.
Oh, definitely.
It's stupid. And it's one of those things where if we're living in a capitalist society, like, the only way to really change it is for the queer community and these communities to kind of rise up and to reclaim this power by developing our own society within society.
Right. I mean, it's tough, right? Because that's the history. That is like absolutely part of the history of being a queer trans person in this country. It's just like, okay, all right. I see that, like, you know, the powers that be are imposing on us, like, you know, we are going to have to like rise up and do some shit about it. Like, you know, like the Vox Populi is like still very strong within us as a community. It's just like the more and more we accept like this bankrolled, pink washy capitalist idea, this, I mean, JetBlue at Pride.
Yeah, JetBlue supports Stonewall.
Supports Stonewall. What does that even mean?
I can't even afford a JetBlue ticket.
Right. JetBlue supports like, how about the
JetBlue,
establishment itself.
How about JetBlue buy a ticket for every like trans kid in middle America
but
to go get their sex change?
We put all of our money into these corporations, but these corporations don't put any money back into the community.
Oh,
So, exactly. You know, we're, yeah. that's a, this is where we're lacking in profit because our communities don't have the resources in order to rise above in a capitalist society because we don't have the money to do it.
Right.
Because
and if you're asking like, oh, well, I mean, you know, like if put money back into the community, what does that even mean? You know, I was at the vigil for MX Bostic, a God rest their soul and rest in power, MX Bostic. And I mean, if you want to talk about just like what the needs of like the trans community are, it was like, it was the beautiful dichotomy of having politicians make it a mouthpiece for them, like coming in, just like being like, yeah, it's like MX Bostic's death was like, her murder was tragic, but vote for me. And then like people literally just started shrieking like, fuck you. Give us jobs. Give us money. We want money. We want
health
money.
Insurance.
We want insurance. You know,
like, you
know what I mean?
Cover my
like, we don't want to be on these streets anymore. We don't have to like use our bodies as like
have
a capital.
Sex work.
You know, I mean, God bless sex workers and like, you know, do what you do. You know what I mean? But when it's like something that you have to do because the way society
that's
has like
coerced.
For yeah, is like what's coerced into that? Then like
yeah.
You know, that's like you elevate people by giving them an opportunity to exist in our community without like stigma, you know,
yeah.
without like having to battle every fucking day, you know, for recognition as like your own person and your own personhood. That's ridiculous.
It's a, you know, and I don't think, the politicians and our government and our you know they don't understand the needs of our community because they don't you don't see politicians going to you know trans community centers and asking what can we do for you.
Well,
you know, like what you can do for us is vote for me, so you know maybe I can make your life better, but once I'm in power I don't really care because it was all about getting the vote to begin with.
So we are coming on like towards the end of the show. You've been listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. My name's Tuke Adelow. Thank you for listening from 3 to 4 live. I'm here with Caribou Fig. I'm here with Queen of Moore. We also got Connor in here. We're just chilling in the background. It's great. And we got Brooklyn Bandstand coming up next with Tom Tenney. That's going to be all music from Brooklyn, New York City based bands and artists. But what I want to say before we go, we have like, you know, a couple more minutes. I want to go say like, what do you think? So we've talked a lot about like what is wrong and what like how politicians don't address the queer community, about corporate sponsorship and about sometimes having to do that to survive. But I want to know how we can actually dismantle pinkwashing. Like, what can we do? But I want to say also, Ori Givens, who is a host on two shows, Queer State of Mind and also Objection to the Rule, that plays on Sundays here on Radio Free Brooklyn, tweeted back at me, capitalists sure have figured out how to profit off of it for sure. And I also wrote, why is the queer media so whitewashed? And most people were kind of just like, because the Western world is whitewashed. Same reason non-queer media is whitewashed.
I'm fucking Cuban and I'm entirely whitewashed.
Yeah, all right. So it's just, it's everything.
Everything
oh my god.
Is
like, oh my god, like white girl running this show about politics. Like, oh my god, like why is like specifically queer media?
Why are you running this show?
About, like what would save the world?
Give me my own show,
like,
god damn it.
I think the queer community, like rather than investing in these existing corporations that are kind of not putting anything back into the community, we can invest in our own communities. Like if I had the money, if I had the means to do it, I would open a network of queer community queer community housing, where like we have a place you know where we can live you know cheaply. We you know live in a like a community setting and like you know because there's so many different ideas from the trans community and the queer community and the get, you know, where like we just don't have the means to thrive because we're stuck in a state of survival mode. We're stuck trying to survive, so we can't really thrive.
But
if we saw our community thrive and break through this these barriers of survival, then we could actually really change consciousness and elevate where we are in society by lifting each other.
I feel that we do that. I feel that like on very local levels that I do see that, you know, it's not on the level, of course, that is like affecting like the whitewashing, like on a grander scheme. But, you know, like especially in New York City, I feel like there are a lot of places where the artists, especially like these emerging, really young queer artists that are always popping up and like my like Spotify, like Bandcamp, or like whatever, or like feeds or like YouTube feeds. There are these young queer artists of color that like really got their start, you know, in like these different houses, you know, like all over New York City or like in the Northeast or whatever the case may be. And that's like one way of like changing, like, you know, the cultural like landscape. And they're popular as fuck, you know what I mean? They're changing the way like we listen to music and like how it's, you know, like they're very visual. And they all come from like, you know, this queer scene. And where we can, you know, there is, you know, just the complete like, you know, there's a lot of boosting of like people, a lot of promoting of our people like within those like communities and everything. And all over, I do see like where it's possible, where people have the space, you know, like, I mean, Queen, you see this too. I mean, like you're traveling all over the country and like where you've stayed, it's like places where if people have like the place, the space and the time, you know, it's like a little like kind of communal situation that we created. And that's how we take care of each other. That's how we take care of our people. And it's just like a broadening of that sentiment. I think it will be good in this like continuing war against this, like, you know, how capitalist, cis white, heteronormative, male patriarchy, like, just like hunkers down on us and like really winnows like the window of just like opportunity, down to what is accessible for like white gay men. So, so like keep promoting each other, keep throwing, you know, these funky fucked up parties, you know, like keep being like queer resistors, keep
calling out the bullshit.
And keep calling out the bullshit, you know, like I'm talking to you radical fairies too. I'm talking to y'all too. Y'all got some problems, right? Like, but and stop protecting maleness like it's something, you know, that like
before the show end. So I tweeted JetBlue, oh my god, this is the funniest that ever happened. I said, hey JetBlue, you can sponsor Pride, pay for ticket for trans youth in middle America to get full sponsored healthcare. And they tweeted back at me,
yes,
to get a hi there for sponsorship proposals, please see link here. Oh my god, wait, yes. They, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, how to submit it? I'm gonna okay, this is
submit
what I'm doing.
Submit
okay, I'm gonna
proposal.
Submit like 10 proposals. Awesome. All right, everybody, I think that if you want to get like involved, like message me, Took Edelo, Took TOOK at radiofreebrooklyn.org. I mean, no, not .org, sorry, Took at radiofreebrooklyn.com, like TOOK. You can email me, you can ask me on a date also. Hey. I date all genders. But hey, you can also go on to JetBlue. Send me proposals. We're going to send like the craziest proposals to JetBlue. We're going to propose your fucking like commune thing.
Yeah,
the commune thing. And be like,
housing.
And then you have to buy tickets for all the trans youth in
yes.
America to get there.
Yeah.
And then we also tell them they should sponsor. And then if they say no to like, if they don't do a significant amount, we have to go, you can't sponsor Pride next year.
Seriously. Sponsor us.
If you're not
going to
give
we
it to our
daddies,
community,
quite
why,
frankly.
How you cannot sponsor Pride only to elevate your own company without actually
right.
putting money back into the community?
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's not that doesn't work that way.
Yeah. And you have to hire, but like, you have like 40% of your employees have to be queer and trans or
exactly.
something. Like,
you know. I'll be a flight attendant.
Oh my god, wait, the show's ending. I'm sorry, I cut you off, but that was so funny. Wait, okay, okay, you've been listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm here every Wednesday, 3 to 4 p.m. Next week, we're going to be talking about how Muslims and Jews can work together to end the occupation of Palestine. Hi. So you guys, if you have anything else to say, we got Brooklyn Bandstand coming up next.
Connor and I could use a daddy.
Queenamore.com.
Or mama. So.
Queenamore.com. Queenamore.com. We need a daddy too.
Yeah, Caribou Vague.
Yeah, you can put some money into my PayPal. Queenamore.
Gmail. Exactly.
Yeah.
Send me some money.
Yeah, Queen will come twerk on something.
I will.
And hire me
face.
For transformational go-go if you ever want to see what that looks like. Caribou
transformational Vague. Go-go. I want some transformational go-go.
Hey.
All right, everybody. What's your name again? Ben. We got Ben hosting Brooklyn Bandstand instead of Tom Tenney, which is cool, so you're going to get treated to something completely new. I'm just killing time for this last minute. You've been listening to What Would Save the World? Probably nothing. Probably nothing. I'm such an idealist. Blah, 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 bl